You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Michael Givens, the Commander-in-Chief of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, SCV. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Dave. How are you?
Good, thanks. Michael, for the benefit of our listeners, who are the Sons of Confederate Veterans?
Well, we are pretty much what the name implies. We are the descendants of Confederate soldiers, sailors, and Marines, the people that fought to defend their country from invasion in 1861 through 1865.
Okay, so you actually are a descendant of one of the military people in that war?
Yes, as a matter of fact, when I started doing my research on it, because I've grown up knowing about my Confederate ancestors, but not knowing all of them and who they all were and what they all did, I found that I had about 75 ancestors that fought in the Confederacy.
Wow, that's a big number.
It is a big number, but I don't think it's really that unusual. If all of your family came from the South, if they were in the South at the time, and they were old enough or young enough to carry a musket, they were pretty much in the war.
Now, in USA Today, yesterday, I believe, there was an article, Confederate Group Fights for State Specialty Plates. Now, I didn't know anything about this, but reading the article, I found out that these type of plates, these vanity plates, are already offered in 9 states, and it says 9 southern states, Alabama, Georgia, Maryland, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. But the Sons of Confederate Veterans are trying to get these plates in Florida, Kentucky, and Texas. Is there a problem with getting these plates in those states?
Sometimes there's an opposition to it in the states. People in general are nervous about seeing a Confederate flag, and there's usually a Confederate flag that's on the vanity plate, but we haven't had too much problem with it. There's some opposition usually, and then once people understand what it's really about, then it's usually okay. I'd like to see it in even more states. You know, we have what we call divisions in many states. It'd be nice to see one in Illinois. We've got a very strong division in Indiana, and it'd be nice to see them with vanity plate. And, you know, it does multiple things. People get to learn about the organization. They can then find out about it. And the more people know about America and her history, and the more people know about organizations that honor American history, I think the better it is for the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, who are these groups that are fighting against the right for people to display Confederate license plates?
Well, usually the people that are fighting against the idea of it are people that are just misinformed about history. And sometimes it's just regular people that just don't know better. And then sometimes it's groups who actually make their living. They subsist off of controversy. And if they don't have a boogeyman to go after, then they don't have any way to raise money. So they like to point fingers at other people that aren't like them or don't believe like them or have different ideas in order to say that there's bad people and that these bad people need to be stopped. And so other people need to send them money. And there's a number of groups out there that do that. They actually make a living by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the article, they mentioned one group. I guess it was the NAACP. Any other groups that listeners would recognize?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's people that have come out against events that the Sons of Confederate Veterans have done. Like, for instance, Al Sharpton's organization came out strongly against something that we did last year when we held a gala reenactment of the signing of the Ordinance of Secession. And Mr. Al Sharpton was on television espousing that we were celebrating slavery and celebrating treason, which certainly is not true in any sense of the word. And I personally wrote him a letter and sent it to his office in New York and then went public with the letter so that people would know that we had sent him this letter. And in the letter, I said that, first of all, I set the story straight that we were not celebrating treason, and I explained why it was not treason. And then I invited him to please sit down with me and let's discuss our differences and our commonalities and see if we can't come together and stop name calling and actually come together and do something good for our country instead of this silly bickering.
And needless to say, he didn't get back to you.
No, I never heard a word from him. Never, not a word. We've done that before. I mean, we've reached out to the NAACP and we tried to speak to them and they don't want to talk. All they want to do is hold rallies and they call us bad names. It doesn't make sense. I mean, why people won't just sit down and talk, I don't know. I really don't know. And part of the problem started with the NAACP back in the 80s when they passed a resolution at their convention that said that basically their raison d'etre was to destroy all things Confederate. That meant to change any street name, take away any public monument or any showing of a Confederate flag. And for some reason, this is what they want to focus on. In South Carolina, where I live, the NAACP still has a boycott against the state because there's a Confederate flag at the State House grounds. Well, 27,000 South Carolinians lost their lives defending themselves from an invasion, and they fought underneath that flag. So it's just a memorial to the men who died defending the state. And instead, they want to say that it's a symbol of slavery, which it certainly is not to us. And if they want to choose that, I mean, if they want to say the number 6 is the symbol of slavery, do we take it out of the number system? I suspect not. But I don't know. Maybe some people would suggest we do.
But as you said, this is how these groups make money. They need the bad guy to raise their funds. That's a fact. And is it just primarily then African-American groups, or are there other groups that are interested in stopping this?
There's other groups. I mean, if you want me to name names, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. They make a living out of pointing fingers at boogeymen and sending letters to people, particularly up north, telling them how bad things are in the South, which is just not true. And it's all about raising money. It's never about helping people. It's about raising money. And if you really wanted to help people, why can't everybody in America study the history of the country and study the history and culture of their own families and be proud of that? Why not? It seems to be okay for everybody except Confederate Americans.
Now, I'm looking at a couple of the license plates. Now, they're showing one in Florida, but you guys don't have one in Florida yet. Is that right?
No, we're just about to, though. There was some legal hurdles to jump over, and I think that that's well in play now, and I think they'll do well with it.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you've got the numbers and letters on the plate and the state's name. And this particular plate has, I guess, a Confederate flag, and it says Confederate Heritage. What about the other plates? Are they similar in the way they look?
You know, it's interesting because there's some that have the logo of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, like South Carolina and North Carolina have that. A number of them use that logo. It's an interesting way to look at it, though, because, see, if you have the logo on it, then you should only be a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans to have that plate. And if you put just a Confederate flag, or like in Virginia, they've got a plate that has Robert E. Lee, and anybody can get those plates. And I think that's nice. So that's probably why they're doing it that way in Florida, so that more people can use the plates and enjoy them.
Mm-hmm. And what is the website of the Sons of Confederate Veterans?
We have two. The main one is www.scv.org, and then there's another one that is 1-800-MySouth.com, and that, incidentally, is our phone number as well, 1-800-MySouth.
Okay. How many members are in the SCV?
We have about 31,000 members in the Sons of Confederate Veterans.
That's big.
It's pretty big. It needs to be bigger, and I hope to make it bigger.
In the article, Michael, it says that the SCV has gone to court a bunch of times to make sure that they could get these plates on vehicles. Is this like a regular thing that happens with the SCV, that they have to go to court just to be able to put these plates on cars?
Well, oddly enough, it seems that the Sons of Confederate Veterans have to answer to higher laws than anybody else. Kentucky decided that they would put together a plate honoring the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. And they managed to push it through the legislature with no problems whatsoever and with virtually no restrictions. And then when the SCV came along and said, hey, we'd like to do a plate, they said, oh, well, you have to do this, 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 and this, and you have to pay a certain amount of money. You have to have so many signatures in order to get it, which was completely different from what they needed for the Lincoln plate. So if they want to play games like that, then we have to take them to court. And we're happy to do that. We deserve the same rights as anybody else.
So would you consider this entire issue a First Amendment issue?
Absolutely, 100%. Freedom of speech. We use that as our arguments in court all the time. I mean, that seems to be what we have to rely on. In South Carolina, there was a girl in a small school close to Florence, South Carolina, that went to school wearing a T-shirt that on the back had a picture of a little puppy dog that was wearing a little bandana with a Confederate flag on it, and she was kicked out of school for it. How ridiculous is that? And it was a straight-A student, never had any record with anything, and the school's response was that we have to make sure that there's nothing that incites any violence. Who's going to attack her and want to beat the woman up because she's wearing a t-shirt with a puppy dog with a Confederate flag on his collar? I mean, what kind of person are you that wants to do that?
I think I read about that.
The case is still going on, and it's been going on for years.
Wow.
At least 6 years, I believe.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, she's already like through college now.
Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour said he's not going to denounce a proposal for a state-issued license plate to honor Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was an early leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Do you folks have any contact with Governor Barbour or elected officials in your quest to get your plate spread across a variety of states?
Yes, of course. But again, this is just more madness. It's just PC madness, because General Forrest was actually brought before Congress. They exonerated him and proved that he was not one of the men that started the Ku Klux Klan. He was not. Forrest had a whole brigade of black cavalrymen, and he said that he loved them, that they were as good a fighting force as anybody he's ever seen. And as a matter of fact, we've got a member in the Sons of Confederate Veterans who lives in Florida, and his grandfather was one of Nathan Bedford Forrest's cavalrymen, and he was black. And when he was a child, his grandfather used to bounce him on his knee and tell him stories about Nathan Bedford Forrest. These are nothing but lies told by people that, again, want to quell a part of American history.
Mm-hmm.
According to the research that I've done, Nathan Bedford Forrest was responsible, was partially responsible in shutting the Klan down. The Ku Klux Klan started as a force to oppose the military occupation of the South, and eventually it turned into something that it didn't need to be. And Nathan Bedford Forrest was one of the guys that said, you need to shut this thing down. And they shut it down. It then started again around the 1920s and 30s, which was based on immigration. But that was a completely different organization. And I don't have any sympathies for any of them. But it's wrong to say that Nathan Bedford Forrest was one of the originators of the Ku Klux Klan. He was not. But yet, we still have a governor of Mississippi who still is espousing those lies.
If you tell a lie long enough, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing about the idea of slavery. It's this whole idea that Abraham Lincoln called for 75,000 troops to go to South Carolina and kill people to stop slavery. It's simply not true. People say that the war was fought for slavery, but yet Abraham Lincoln, the man who started the war, the man who maintained the war, the man who continued the war, insisted that the war was not fought for slavery. But yet somehow these yahoos today seem to think that they know more than the man that actually started the war. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you know what? We live in a country of laws. If you want to change the law, because slavery was legal whether we like it or not, if you want to change the law, change the law. You don't need to kill 620,000 human beings on the battlefield to change a law.
Great point. A lot of disinformation. People need to educate themselves. What if some of our listeners want to help you folks out in your quest to get these plates on cars in different states? Do you take donations? Should they write emails to their legislators? What should they do?
You know, if people want to help us out with these license plates in any place where these disagreements are happening, there's many things that they can do. They can certainly write letters, call their congressman. I tell you what, if you write a letter, if you handwrite or type up a letter, don't send an email. They don't read emails. People in the legislature don't read emails. They throw them away. It's very easy to ignore them. But if you send a letter through the U.S. mail, I had a senator tell me one time that when he gets a letter in the mail that somebody actually took the time to write, he considers it the same as 100 phone calls. That's how powerful a letter is.
Wow.
Now, if you really want to make a difference, show up in his office. Go to your state capitol or go to Washington, D.C. and just walk into your representative's office and say, you know what? I'm tired of the nonsense. How about telling people the truth? How about treat people fairly? Then, oh my goodness, you'll see those people. They will pucker up. They
right.
can't stand that. They don't actually want to be in the presence of their constituents. They can't
right.
stand it. And, of course, we always need funds. So if anybody wants to donate, we're wide open to that. And you can just find us on the website and we can help take care of it. And, you know, the thing is, we don't just do things like that. We've got a relief fund. We helped a lot of people during Katrina. We're helping people during these recent tornadoes. And if people need help, we have a relief fund to help people with that. We do a lot of benevolent service as well, besides just education. So the Sons of Confederate Veterans has something for just about everybody. And again, if you've got Confederate ancestors, we need you. Even if you don't, we still need you. But in order to join the organization, you need to have Confederate ancestors. And we sure would love to have you.
That sounds great. Michael Givens, Commander-in-Chief of the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. That's scv.org. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to explain all this to our listeners. And best of luck in getting the plates on the cars.
Thank you very kindly, Dave. It's a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Me too. Thanks, Michael.